Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is actually Kofiyot Test, but as we know, we'll be doing Kofiyot Ches, Amud Aleph, and we're going to be starting at the mission on Kofiyot Zayin and Beis. Today's daf is sponsored by Rabbi Shmuel and Dvorah Miller in honor of the upcoming Siyum of Maseches Bava Metzia, Le'ilui Nishmas Hagana of Mordechai Ben Shlomo Friedlander Zatzal, and in honor of the wedding this evening of Tehila Miller to Netanel Greenwald. Also, take a moment to wish a mazel tov to Rabbi Larry Ziffer on the birth of a new grandson. Mazel tov. Shemalav Nachas. And just a reminder from the email that went out yesterday, but the Siyum of Meretz Hashem will be, the Siyum of Amitzia will be in Meretz Hashem tomorrow evening at 6:15. It's going to be in it's in the Kness Shop catering hall, but the Shir will be at 6:15. The Siyum will be at 7 p.m. We hope everyone can make it. If you can RSVP to Saeed or to Ari. Now, the Shir is 6:15. The Shir on Bava Basra, the first staff of Bava Basra, then the Siyum.
The Shir is there also.
Shir is there also, yes. Oh,
okay. And to give $20 to
yes.
Saeed.
And it's a $20 charge for those who can give it to Saeed or pay it by PayPal.
Still catching up.
Yeah. Okay. Now that we've dispensed with all of that, Mishnah, V'chein. So now we're going to talk about a similar scenario to what we've talked about, and we've talked the last number of Mishnayos about Abayis V'Aliyah. We talk about this structure that had multiple units, two or three. We've discussed, and now we're going to discuss a similar situation. V'chein Beis Abad. If someone has a Beis Abad is where they used to press the olives. Shehu Bonoi Besela, that it's built in a rock. It seems from Rashi that it means under a rock. Vegina Achas Agabov, and there is a garden on top of the rock. Venifchas, and we're talking about where somehow the rock caved in. And so, and Rashi's going to say in a moment that we're dealing again with a scenario where a father had both this place where they would press the olives as well as the garden on top, and he was yorishit to his sons. And now the question is, similar to what we dealt with before, is that can the top guy come down into the guy who has the garden? Can he now plant his garden in the place where they press the olives, on the theory that it's on the bottom guy to maintain his ability to have his garden on top? So Rashi says, Beis Abad, Bayis Letzar Zesim. It's a house, a structure where they would press the grapes. Vegina Achas Agabo, and there's a gina on top. How do you have this? Shechokak Adam Besela Tachteha. That a person dug out beneath the rock, kigon kipa, and made it like a dome almost. So in other words, you kind of like an igloo or something that you go in underneath and create a space. Vahaya ginasa lamala. This guy's garden was above. Ubeis bada momato, and the olive press was beneath. Ukeshemes, and when he died, the guy who dug this out, not lubanov, his sons took it. Zeh beis abad vezeh gina. One son took the olive press and one son took the garden. V'nivchas gago shel beis abad, and the roof of the olive press area got ruined. Shehu makom zriyaso shel elyon, because and that roof that covered over the beis abad is the place, or that same roof that covered the beis abad was the floor or the ground of the garden. Okay, so that's the case, very similar to what we had before. So we say the halacha, similar to what we had before, yored vizareya lamata acheyasa lebeis bado kifin, that the guy who has the garden on top can go down from his garden, because his garden is now has this hole in it, and he can go down into the olive press area, and he'll plant his vegetable, he'll plant his plants, his garden there, in the lower part, in the part where they press the olives, until such time as the guy who is the brother, who's the owner of the olive press area, puts Shiyasa Lebeis Bado Kipin, that he makes Kipin, Rashi says, Arkvalt Elyon Yitin Alav Afer V'Yizar. Now he's saying these are keeping our domes, as we said before. And then, so in other words, the bottom guy would make a dome or make some kind of roof over his Beis Abad. And then the top guy, Rashi says, Elyon Yitin Alav Afer. So then once the guy makes his roof, the top guy would put on it dirt V'Yizar, and he'll plant his seeds. So that's the halacha, that he could go down. Until the bottom guy fixes the roof. Okay, the Gemara will ask why we needed this, why we wouldn't have already known it, from the prior Mishnah. Okay, Hakosel ve'Ilan Shenafel Roshus Harabim ve'Ezeko. So we're talking about a wall or tree that fell into Roshus Harabim and caused damage to someone. Pater Milashalim. He does not have to pay. And we learned this halacha already, and the halacha is basically that in other words, he had no reason to assume that his wall or his tree would fall. So if it hits someone when it falls, or for that matter, someone trips on it right away after it falls, he is pater, Rashi says, pater, milashalim, from paying, demai havalele mevet. What could he have done? Anasu. You know, he didn't know that the wall was going to fall, and you know, you can't, so obviously if it hits someone, and even picking it up, he has a little bit of time before you say it was expected of him that he would have picked it up. Okay? So the Mishnah continues. So what happens? Bezdin noticed, or Shlich of Bezdin noticed that this tree was leaning over, or the wall looked a little rickety, and they gave him time. Rashi says, Shara'u, Bezdin Shayanota, Bezdin saw that it was leaning over, Ramrlo Sasar, and they said to them, he said to the owner, knock down the tree. And meanwhile, Ivanoflu Batsochasman, it fell during that time, so Bezdin gave him a certain amount of time to clean up. We're gonna see in a minute that it's 30 days. And it fell during those 30 days. Pater, then he's Pater. Why? Because, you know, he's still an honest. Bezdin saw, they didn't think it was gonna fall within the next 30 days. And so they say, somewhere in the next 30 days, you should clean this up. And then if it fell during that 30 days, so he's pater because he's an onus. La'achar zman, but if it's after the 30 days, chayav, he's chayav. Okay? Now, a case where it doesn't fall into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but rather falls into Rosh Hashanah Yachid of someone else. Mishaya koslo samuch leginas chavero, someone who had his wall that was close to the garden of his friend, v'nafal, and the wall fell over, v'amarlo. And what happened? V'nafal, the Rashi says, V'nafal toch ginasa shel chavero, fell into his friend's garden. V'amarlo, the owner of the garden said to him, Pana avanecho, get rid of your stones. Your stones are blocking my ability to plant in my garden because your stones are there. V'amarlo, so the guy whose wall it is said to him, Higiyucha, Rashi says, Heim shelcha, these rocks, you can just have them, they'll be yours. Go clear them out yourself. Tough luck that my stones are there. You can have the stones. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, "Ein shomin lo." Rashi says, "Im ein zeh rotzeh." If this guy whose garden the stones fell into doesn't want them, "Ein kona lo davar hefker o matana." You can't force a person to be kona something that's hefker, or to be kona a gift. In other words, at the end of the day, if he doesn't want it, so then it's not Zachin Li'adam, it's Chavin Li'adam, and you can't do it against his will. Okay, that's the halacha there.
He has to remove it?
He has to remove it. The guy's wall has to remove it. Okay. Misha Kibel Alav. What happens? So then what happens here? Misha Kibel Alav. So this is a slightly different case. So the guy's wall fell over. He said, clear it out. The guy said, no, you cleared out yourself. And then he says, okay, fine, I accept that. But then the owner, decided, wait, I really wanted those stones that fell there, and then I told you could have. So Mishikibolov, after the guy had already accepted the stones, Amrlo, he says to him, Helech Hesitzio Secho, here is the money you paid to have someone clear it. Vani etal Asheli, and I'm gonna take my stones back. So first he told him, you can have the stones. Then he changed his mind and said, here, I'll pay you for what it costs to clear them out, but I want you to give them to me. So the Mishnah says, Ein Shomen Lo. While it's true that he couldn't force the guy to take it, once he offered it to the guy and the guy accepted it, we're not going to let him recant. Okay? Hasocher, next case, third line, on Kuf Yuches Amud Aleph. Hasocher is a poel, lasos imo betevin uvakash. So someone hires a worker to work with him or to pick tevin and kash. And we dealt with this a couple of weeks ago. Tevin and kash, according to one version, is talking about, that the tevin is in its raw state. Kash is in its raw state, tevin is in its more final state. Or Tosos, if you remember, I think it was on Kuf Yud Gimel, said that tevin is the part of the whatever it is, the wheat or the grain that you actually harvest, that you cut off, and the kash is the stuff that's left in the ground. Which, if you remember, we were dealing there with the question of how they used to farm. Would they rip everything up, or would they just cut it, etc.? But in any event, he told him, work with me to pick tevin and kash. V'amarlo, and he said to him, at the end, he worked with him, he said, ten li schari, give me my wages, give me my payment. V'amarlo, and he said to him, tu masha sisi bischarcha. He says, you know what? Forget it, I'm not paying you. Take the straw and the wheat we just picked, and that will be your payment. So ain shamalo, we don't listen to him. We'll see in a moment in Rashi why we don't listen to him, but we don't listen to him because he has a right to be paid in cash. You can't tell him that he should take straw in his payment. However, Mishakibel Olav, once, if he accepted the straw, and he says, okay, fine, I'll take the straw we just picked. And then the owner had Charatav Amrlo, and he said, Heilech Scharcha, here's cash for your wages, Vaniyatal Shali, and I'm gonna take back the straw we picked. So even though I told you, you can have it as your wages, I changed my mind. And here I'm gonna pay you now what I owed you for working. At that point, in Shomanlo, we don't listen to him, because while he couldn't force the guy to take it, once he offered and the guy took it, he can't back out of that transaction. So Rashi says, B'tevin of Akash on the second line, L'laket lo mishalo omen ahefker. So he pay, when we say, he says, work with me with the straw or the wheat, he's telling him either to pick with him, that the owner of the field is saying, come pick my field with me, or the guy who hired him is telling him, here, come with me and you'll be my worker to pick from hefker. I know where there's some hefker wheat, and come, you'll come with me, you'll pick it. So he says, "Tul masha sisa kol masha lakatata yeheshacha." So in other words, he didn't want to pay him his wages. So he said, look, whatever we picked, it'll be yours. And then essentially what he's trying to do, the reason Rashi would say that that's take everything, is because what he wants it to be is saying, like, and we'll see, the Gemara is going to talk exactly what's the case, but he's saying, like, you know what? It won't even be mine. And that way you'll take the whole thing, and then I don't owe you anything. And that will be your wages. So the Mishnah said, in Shomen Lo, we don't listen to him. Why don't we allow, in other words, normally, Rashi says, Afagav de b'chol dichti, b'chol duchte isle shove kesef ke kesef, even though we have a general rule that says that when someone owes another person money, he's entitled to pay him with product, just like he could pay him with cash. In other words, generally speaking, you can pay with something as long as it has equivalent value. So the question is, why here can he not pay the worker in straw, even lechatchila? So the Gemara says, hachagabe poel, but it's a unique case in the case of a worker, that there you do actually have to pay him currency as opposed to equivalent value product. Why? Because baltalan scharoksiv. It says that you can't delay paying him scharo, his wages. And his wages, when it says scharo, Rashi says, my da'asne bahade mashma, that it says his wages means that which you made up with him. And so presumably you made up with him to pay cash. You told him, I'm going to pay you $10 an hour. So then you have to give him actual cash. You can't give him items that are worth that much. Although obviously, as the Mishnah said, if he chooses to accept it, then that's okay. And in fact, that becomes non-reversible. Okay, so the Gemara is going to start off very similar to the, we noted that the Mishnah that we talk about this, we had this upper garden and he had the dugout area where he had the olive press. seems very similar to Abayas Va'aliyah, and in fact the Gemara starts off very similar. So Nifchisa, which Mesoris Hasha says, Nifchisa Bekama, how much of a hole does there need to be between the top garden and the bottom olive press area? Rav Amar Baruba, it has to be a majority. Same thing he said by Abayas Va'aliyah. Shmuel Amar Barba, that we're talking about Dal Tvachim, similar as to what he said over there. Rav Amar Baruba, Rav said that when is it that he can move downstairs into the Beis Abad is when the majority of it happens. Now again, similar to what we learned by Abayas Va'aliyah, Rav is saying that if it's up to half, it's not like he's out of luck. He can go down and plant up to half his garden downstairs, but he can't put everything down. Avo ba'arba. So that's only if it's majority. Avo ba'arba. But if it's just dal tvachim, or for that matter, anything up to half, adam zareya chetziv lamata v'chetziv lamala. It's okay to tell him that you have to do half below and half above, and we don't let him take over the entire Beis Habad. But we do let him take over as much of the Beis Habad as he needs to compensate for the amount of the space of the ceiling that's been ruined. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Barba, that if you have Dal Tvachim, Adal Tvachim, at that point, he's entitled to move his entire planting operation downstairs, because Ein Adam Zerea Chetzi Lamatav, Chetzi Lamala. Because a person can't be expected to plant some above and some below, and so as soon as you have Dalet al Dalet Tvachim, at that point, he's entitled to move his entire planting operation downstairs. Now, the Gemara is going to figure out, want to know, what are we telling, and that is, why did we need to learn this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel here by the case of Beis Abad? We already saw it by the case of Abayas Va'aliyah. We had the same thing, that if he had a lower unit in the upper unit, and there was the ceiling collapsed, we discussed how big, is it Dal Tvachim or is it Ruva? And it was the same machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says it's Tzricha, we need it. The Iyash Minyan Dira, because if it only told us the case of Abayas Va'aliyah, where there were the two units, one on top of the other, I would say Bahakam or Shmuel, in that case, where it's a housing structure. In this case, Shmuel said that as soon as it reaches the size of Dalet al Dalet Tvachim, at that point he can move downstairs. Why? Because Mishum Deloy Avidi Inchi, the diary, Portahachi, because generally speaking, people don't live in two places. It's not a normal thing to live in two different houses and do, I eat in this house, I sleep in this house. People don't do that. Avalainian Zriya, but when it comes to planting, Avidi Inchi Desari Hachaporta Vahachaporta. So, it's not abnormal that people plant different things. A guy can have a garden patch here, and I'll have a garden patch there, and I'll go farm them on different days. It's not like living. Living, people live in one place. Planting, you plant in multiple places. So therefore, I might think, Ema Modile L'Rav. So that's why I might think that Shmuel, who says ordinarily by a house, that as soon as it reaches Dal 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 Tvachim, he has a right to move downstairs, that's only by a house, because it's not normal to live in two places. But by a garden, I would say maybe he agrees with Rav that you have to get to a point where half the ceiling between the Beis Abad and the Gina has been knocked out before he can move his full planting operation downstairs. But therefore, by telling us here that Shmuel says Arba, we see that even in the case of planting, Shmuel holds you don't plant part here and part there. Okay? V'yitma b'hach. And if I only told you the machlokas Rav and Shmuel in this case, where you have a Beis Abad and a Gina, where you have the olive press area and you have the garden, I would say, Bahach Kama Rav. I would say it's in this case that Rav says that you need half, because since it's normal for people to plant part above and part below, so in that case, that's why Rav says up to half you can, once it hits half you can go downstairs, but up to half it's normal to plant in two places. But if he hadn't told us the halacha by Isvali, I would say in this case, where it's living area, maybe Rav is maskim that in living area, unlike a planting area, people don't live in two places. And therefore, maybe Rav in that case, Ema Module L'Shmuel, I'll tell you, maybe he's maskim to Shmuel, that if we're dealing with a living environment, as soon as it hits Dalet al Dalet Tvachim, he can move downstairs and doesn't have to live in two places. I might think Rav agrees to Shmuel. So therefore, the Gemara says, Tzricha, I needed it to tell us that they're arguing in both cases, because even in a case of Dira, Rav would say it's only when you hit above half of the ceiling that's been destroyed that he has a right to move to the downstairs unit. Okay, no Rashi's on this part of the Gemara. Nosnin lo zman. So we said that what happens, we talked about the fact that if the wall or the tree fell down, we're talking about the halacha, we said, what if Bezdin gave him notice? So then we say that if it fell down within that notice time, so he wasn't negligent because Bezdin had assessed it wouldn't fall down within that time, then he's potter, but if it's beyond that time, he's chayv. So the Gemara wants to know, v'kama zman Bezdin, how long is zman Bezdin? Rav Yochanan shloshim yom. Rav Yochanan says it's 30 days. And I guess maybe because the Gemara phrases of kama zman bezdin, how long is the zman bezdin? Tosfos says, umikan ana lemeidin zman bezdin lefro achovo lekama dvarim dehavilamid yom. So he says this is the source, this is the source from which we learn many things, that it's 30 days. Rav Shimon Gamliel nami amr le'el af lasmoin machzor shloshim yom. We learn Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha before that when someone's taking a security that for the first 30 days they can't sell it. And Tosis also refers to the halacha that if I lend someone money, stam, someone comes up to me and says, can I borrow $100? And I give it to him, that I can't go, and we don't set a specific time that I can't go. I have to give him 30 days before I go and I start to bother him. Then Tosis finishes up and says, he says, it doesn't mean literally that every time Bezdin gives you time to do something is 30 days. Like in this case, he doesn't always give you 30 days like this. Because we learned before, if his guy's pitcher broke and he didn't pick up the pieces, or his camel fell and he didn't make the camel stand up, Rabbi Meir Mechayev Bezekon, that Remeir is Mechayev in the Hezek, so it doesn't say how long he has to pick it up. But Tosfos is saying, Ein Zman Bezdin Shloshim Yom Sham. That's not, you don't have 30 days to pick up a pitcher that falls. Like it's Mashman HaManiach HaZakad. Behind Utaima, what's the reason why he doesn't get 30 days? Shebeshokala Yochel Asira Misham. Because it takes him no time. It takes 5 minutes to sweep up the pitcher, and that's enough. So you're not going to get 30 days. But where it's a longer time that we need to do things, that generally Tosfos is saying that this is a source or the source for the idea that he gets 30 days. Okay, the Gemara continues. Misha haya koslo. So this is talking about the case that someone's kosel, someone's wall was next to the garden of his friend, and the wall falls. So we said that if that he says you can have the stones, you can't force him to take the stones, but if he accepts the stones and at that point he tries to give the guy the money that he paid to clear it away, at that point the guy can say, no, I accepted the stones and I'm not giving it back to you. So the Gemara says as follows, Hum midiktani seifa. This that we learned, the second part of this, the part that if he chose to accept it, and he said, the owner tried telling him, Heilach yitzia secho, here, I'll give you the money that you paid to have it cleared out, and I want the stones back. So what does that imply? If he's offering him the money that the guy paid to have it cleared, because otherwise, what cost did he incur? What money is he offering him? So obviously, the Gemara says, Michlal de paninu askinon. That implies that we're talking about a scenario where the owner actually paid to have it removed, or did it himself, but that's an economic value as well. So the Gemara says, so that's the case where we tell him, once he cleared it, that you can no longer, even though he couldn't force him to take it, once he accepted, you can no longer reverse the transaction. The Gemara is learning that implies that this irreversible nature of this happens only once the owner of the garden actually cleared the stones. So, taima de paninu, the reason that it can't be reversed is because he cleared away the stones. Hello, paninu, lo. But if he wouldn't have cleared them, then in fact it would be reversible. So the Gemara wants to know, why should that be so? Why should it be dependent on whether he cleared it away? Once he accepted the stones, why is that not sufficient? Why is that the halacha? V'tikni le'sadeu. Why not say that his field at the time, in other words, my wall falls into his garden, he says, clear out your stones. I say, no, you keep the stones. At that point, his chatzar should be kona. The Amr Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Yossi in the name of Rabbi Chanina said, Chatzera shel adam kono lo shalom idaito. Because we know the halacha, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, that chatzer of a person can be kona even shalom idaito, even if he's not aware of it. So we say the guy doesn't need to be there, and he doesn't even know about it. His chatzer can be kona. So the Gemara's question is, why don't we say that his chatzer was kona? Why do we say that in order to be kona, he actually needs to pay to have the stones removed? So we say, he says, Hani mili, this that we say, that a chatzer can be kona, is to come a kaven la knuyele, is where, on earth basically, if I want to convey something to you, and so it's in your chatzer, I say, okay, I'm giving you my phone, right? And it's in your chatzer, so then your chatzer can be kona, right? But that's because I want to give it to you. Aval hacha, but in this case, even though the guy, the owner of the wall, said, here, you could keep the stones, he didn't really mean it. The Gemara says, ishtamute hu dekam ishtamitle. He was just trying to buy time. He didn't have time to pick up the stones right then. So he said to the guy, you keep the stones, you clean it up. But really, he wanted to eventually come back and give him and clear it out himself, or give him the money to have it cleared out. So therefore, he didn't really have in mind to be makne to the other guy. And if he didn't have in mind to be makne to the other guy, then there's no ability for chatzer to be kona. Okay.
But he can be kona if he actually clears them, though.
Yeah, so once he clears it, that's what the Gemara says. Once he clears it, it's too late. In other words, if you told him, you go, and the Rishonim say that's because he didn't protest when the guy was clearing. And so some learn, and there's the riff that, actually, maybe we'll get later to discussing, seems to imply that if he wasn't around, and he didn't know that the guy was clearing it, then he still can say that he never intended, and he'd be able to get the stones back. But I don't believe that's the opinion of all of the Rishonim. Okay, so continuing in the Gemara, we are six lines up in the thin lines. Hasocher lasos imo beteven. So we said, Rashi said that he was either getting him, and we'll see why Rashi said it. Rashi said he was either paying him to work with his own, or he's paying with him to collect from Hefker. Either way, the case in the Mishnah was that if at the end of working, he said to him, give me my wages, the worker said, and he said, no, just keep the straw we picked. So we said he can't force him to do it, which Rashi explained is because we have a limud that he's entitled, a worker's entitled to his wages, and you can't give him equivalent value. But if he accepted to take the tevin or kash that they picked, then that would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara wants to deal with a question, which is, we just finished saying this halacha in the case of a wall, and the wall falls down, and we say he offers him the stones, you can't force him. If he takes the stones, you can't reverse the transaction. So why did you need to tell me the same case in a case of picking tevin and kash? It's the same halachas. You can't force him to take it, but if he does take it, it's irreversible. So the Gemara wants to know, why did I need both? Vitzricha. I needed both. If I would have only told you this case where the wall falls down, that at the time, in the case of the wall, the stones that fall down, at the time that he says, here, you keep the stones, in Shomon Lo, we say that he can't do that lechatchila. He can't force the guy to accept his stones. As Rashi said, you can't make someone bikone a gift or bikone something that's hafker. So we would say, why is the reason he can't do that? Mishum de lesle agor gabe. Because what case are we talking about there? Is that there was, Rashi says, v'zein chafetz b'matanaso, v'hu maziko shemino mizriyaso. Rashi says, the owner in that case, he didn't want your gift. In fact, your stones falling down on his garden mess him up, because now he can't plant his garden. So that's a bad thing. You don't owe him anything. You have no relationship with him. So we're going to say that's the only case where you can't force him to take it. Aval hacha. But in this case, with the tevin and kash, where he worked with me, right, and I owe him money. Aval hacha, the islay agar gabe. In this case, where he actually owes him money, Rashi says, Aval sefa, the islay agar gabe. And this one wants to come and force him to take the tevin and kash as his schar, as his wages. Vuhu omar lo, and he says to him, tul zeb piron, that, and he says, take this straw and this kash, this tevin and kash as your payment. Ema, I might say, shomen lo, that I might say that he has the right to force the worker to take the tevin and kash. And what would be the reason? We just finished, Rashi finished saying that we have a pasuk that tells us that a worker is entitled to get his payment in cash. So what would be the reason that we would think we might be able to force him? The Amri Inshi, because people say in the world, Mimari Rashvasech, that if you have someone, Rashi says, Mimari Rashvasech, Mibal Chovech, from someone that owes you money, Pari Ephra, that Pari Ephra, Rashi says, Afilu Nosin Lecha Subim Kadlim, Kablim, that even if he's offering you Subin, is like bran, you should accept it. He's saying no matter what he's giving you, you should accept it. So we had the pasuk that said it. So we're saying that maybe even though the pasuk tells you that you're supposed to pay him his wages in cash, and that's really what you should do, but maybe that implicitly when he accepted the employment, he understood that if you're going to offer me something other than cash, I'm going to take it, because that's what people say. When you have an offer of something of value, take it. Don't hold out for a better form of currency or for cash, because you never know, you might not get paid. So if the guy thought that, I might think that maybe the guy thought that in the beginning, and therefore I can force him to take the tevin and cash, and I don't have to pay him cash. Kamash Malan, that's why he needed to tell me not only the case of the kosel, but even the case of tevin and cash where he's an employee. The Gemara says, first wide line, V'yashminan hacha. And if the Mishnah had only told me the case of Tevin and Kash, I would and said in that case you can't force him, I would say Hacha Shemishakiba Lov Ain Shoman Lo Mishum de Islay Agar Gabe Abu Hacha the Leslie Agar Gabe Ema Shoman Lo. So he says, this that we said, now we're gonna focus not on forcing him to take it, but rather on your ability to take it back even after the guy cleared it, even after the guy accepted the tevin and kash. So I would say that when is it that you can't, that the transaction becomes irreversible, is in this case where the guy was owed wages. You told him, here, take the straw. He said, fine. At that point, I would say we don't allow the owner to now pay him the wages and reverse it. So I would say it's only in that case, that it becomes irreversible, called Mishum de Islay Agra Gabe, because they had an employee-employer relationship, and so if the employer offered a form of payment in the form of Teva Mekash, and the guy accepted it, that becomes irreversible. Aval Hacho, but I would tell you, in the case of the stones and the wall, the Leslay Agra Gabe, that if I was the owner of the wall, I didn't owe him anything, I didn't owe him stones, and so therefore maybe, even after the time that he paid someone to clear it out, I might say, Ema Shomanlo, I might say that we still listen to me and I can pay him what he paid for clearing it out, but I can now take back the stones. Kamashmala, not. You cannot do that even in the case where you did not have a pre-existing relationship, and once, although you couldn't force him to clear it out himself, once he does, he can keep it. Tzricho, therefore, I needed both cases. Okay? Ein Shomanlo. So we learned in the case, where he says, where he told him, keep the straw, that we work together, and you just keep that straw. So the Gemara asks, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Shomen Lo, that he can tell the guy, here, you take the straw that we work together, and that's his wages, and the guy can't say back, no. So that's, we have a stira in the halachas between our Mishnah and a Braisa. So I'm Reb Nachman says, Lo Kasha. Kan b'shelo, kan b'shel chavero. Now what's the difference? In the case in our Mishnah, where I told him, come pick straw with me, it was in my own field, right? So therefore, I was nana, I got something from it, we were working in my field, and I acquired it when you did it. Kan b'shel chavero. Whereas here, we're talking about that it was in the, you know, I took him to someone else's field and they were picking. So therefore, in that case, the way the Havamina of the Gemara is as follows. Is that in that case, I wouldn't have to pay him anything. And this that I say in the Braisa that says here, that we allow him to say, you just take the cash. The way the Gemara is understanding is that when he says, you just take the cash, he's not even saying it in a serious way. He's being sarcastic because he actually owes him nothing. Because what was the scenario there that we can let him say, whatever, you take it and you have no responsibility to him? That was discussing specifically a case where he was just working in someone else's field. And let's say I was the guy who asked him to work in the field. At the end of the day, since I get nothing from it, so I don't acquire it. And Rashi points out that we're talking here, it's Reb Nachman who's discussing it, and Reb Nachman is the one who said, all the way back on Daf Yod, if we remember, that if someone is Magbia Matzia L'Chavero, if someone picks up a lost object for his friend, the friend does not acquire it. The guy who picks it up acquires it. Because you can't bekone something for someone else by picking it up. We're going to see an exception to that in a minute. So therefore, I didn't acquire anything he picked up because it didn't belong to me. So therefore, I don't owe him anything. So therefore, when the Brisa says, you can tell him that, when it says you can tell him that, here, you take the cash, it doesn't even really mean that. It says, you take nothing. Tough luck. Because I had you pick someone else's field. So I'm a lay rabbler of Nachman. Says that doesn't make sense. That's not a good distinction. Bishalom, my time, what's the reason when it's my field that I can't force him to, that I have to pay him and I can't force him to take straw? Is my time, the Amalei Agra Aloch, because we say that his wages are upon me. Why are his wages upon me? Because I asked him to work in my field. At the time he does the work, I get the benefit of his labor, therefore I have to pay him. So there, but if so, Bishal Chaveiro Nami Scharo Olav. But in the case of where I had him work in my friend's field, it's also on me to pay him. And once it becomes on me to pay him, then he's a worker. When he's a worker, as Rashi said, that we learn from Baal Talan Scharoi that you have to pay him in cash. So why would you say that if, as long as he's picking in our friends, in the friend's field, you don't have to pay him cash? Now how do I know that he owes him that money? The Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa that says as follows, Hasocher Sapol Lasos Bishalo, Veharo Bishal Chavero, that if someone hires a worker to work, he tells him, come work in my field, but then he ends up showing him someone else's field, and the worker ends up working in someone else's field. We discussed this case multiple times. Nosin Los Scharo, Mishalim. He has to pay him his full wages. So if I went and hired the worker, even though I mixed it up and had him work in my friend's field, I have to pay the worker the full amount. And then I can go back to the Baal Bayis and collect from him what I was mahana him by having a worker work in his field. But the worker can come to me. Once the worker can come to me, then he's a poel. Once he's a poel, I have to pay him cash. So why would you distinguish, say that the case where we say you can force him to take the cash is talking where you worked in your friend's field, even where you work in your friend's field, you owe him cash and you can't force him to take cash. Cash and cash. Okay, so Ella Amr of Nachman. So Reb Nachman says, I'll give you a different teretz to the Braisa, at the stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Lo kasha kam b'shalo kam b'shal hefker. That the distinction is that in the case where it's my, he's working in my field and I acquire it, So then I owe him money, right? But Kambashal Hefker, but in the case where I said we can tell him, have him keep the cash, is a case of Hefker. Why does Hefker make it better? Because we're talking about Rav Nachman here. Rav Nachman holds that when you pick something from Hefker, just like a Metzia, which is also Hefker, right? So at that point, the guy who asked him to pick it, do not acquire it. Right? Because Rav Nachman holds that I'm Magbia Metzia L'Chaveiro L'Kona. So therefore, the guy himself acquires it. And if I then tell him, you keep it, right? So then I don't owe him anything because he didn't do anything for me. So I don't owe him anything. If I don't owe him anything, it's not wages. If it's not wages, I can pay it to him or I can tell him, you keep it, because we're dealing with item of value as opposed to wages, that would need to be cash. So the Gemara doesn't like that either. Esvei Rava or Rav Nachman. Rava asked the kasha on that. How can you tell me that in a case of Hefker, you can make him take it? Metzias Poel Atzmo. Amosai. So it says, when is it that a poel can keep something he finds? Bizman shamala balabayas nakesh imi ayom o edr imi ayom. So if the balabayas says to him, here, you come with me, let's weed my garden or dig with me today, right? In that case, if the worker finds a metzia, the worker gets to keep him. Why? Because I hired him to weed. I didn't hire him to find metzias. So if he finds metzias, he's doing that on his own and it belongs to him. But if I hired him stam, and I said, here, I'm hiring you for the day, which implies you're going to do whatever I want, so so then the metzia goes to the balabayis. So this is essentially an exception, even according to Rav Nachman, who holds that if someone picks up a metzia for his friend it does not acquire it. That is true if you didn't hire him for the day. But if you hire him for the day, you are kona his metzias. So therefore, in this case where you hired the guy for the day and said, come work with me. So when he was picking the straw, he was being magbia metzia lechavero, but it was a case where I was hired, and therefore I was acquiring it. So as he picked the straw, I acquired it. Because I acquired it, and he was working for me, that then it transforms into becoming wages. If it's wages, I need to pay it during the day. So how is this a valid answer to the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Elamer of Nachman. Rav Nachman says, lo kasha, kam bahagba, kam bahabata. So we're talking about, the difference is that in our Mishnah, where we tell him that you can't force the worker to take the straw as his payment, is because I was having him pick the straw. When he picks the straw, he's kona the straw for me. Because he's kona the straw for me, I owe him money. I owe him money, it's wages. If it's wages, it has to be paid in cash, and you can't be paid in straw. But kan, in the case of the braisa, where it says, you could tell him, you keep the straw over there, is bahabata. Habata would be looking. So I told him, here, you watch over this straw so that other people don't take it, right? But he never picked it up. So then, at that point, he had done some work, but if I now tell him, he says, okay, pay me for watching, I say, you know what, you just take the straw we were watching. So at that point, I didn't gain anything, I wasn't nana anything, and therefore, I don't owe him money, I don't owe him wages, I don't have to give him I can tell him to keep the straw, and I never took possession, and therefore I don't owe him anything, and he can keep it. So that's the braisa. Okay, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, so we've now finished answering the braisa and the Mishnah stira, but since we talked about habata, about looking and whether it can be kona, we're going to say as follows. Amar Rabba, habata behefker tanoihi. The question of whether looking at something hefker can be kona is a machlokas tanoihim. It's not, because we learned in a Mishnah, shomrei svichei shvias notun scharin mitrumas halishcha. What's going on here? So we have the carbon omer and the shtei alechem, which is the carbon omer we bring on Pesach from barley, and the shtei alechem we bring on Shavuos from wheat, that it has to be harvested then. So the question is, what do you do in a Shemitah year? Because in a Shemitah year, you're not allowed to plant. If you're not allowed to plant, how are you going to get the barley and the wheat that you need for the carbon? So the answer is that Svichei Shvias are leftover seeds that regerminated from the prior year. You didn't plant them, they grew by themselves, and you find enough of those, and you do the carbon omer and the carbon and the shtei alechem from there. So the Mishnah is saying that you hire these workers, and Tosfos points out, actually not here, but in Azov on Daf Nun Ches, says that you can't hire them to watch it. You can hire them to kind of notify people that Hegdish plans to take it. Because if you watch it, then that's the Isser in Shvias, and it'll be over in Shvias. But in any event, so Shomrei doesn't mean literally, Tosfos says. Shomrei Svichei Shvias. You have these guys who are watching these little Svichei Shvias that they're going to use. Notlan Schar Mitrumas HaLishcha. They get paid for doing their work, and you take the money from the Trumas HaLishcha. Why? Because the Trumas HaLishcha is where you use the money for all Karbani Tzibor. And so then, since this needs to be a carbon tzibor, you pay the worker who's watching it from the Trumas HaLishcha. Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, I wrote to Misnadev who, that if someone wants, he can be, donate his services, or Shomer Chinam. And he's a Shomer Chinam. So that you don't necessarily have to pay the guy who watches it. Amrulo, the Tanakama, the Rabbanan said to Rav Yossi, Ata Omer Kain, if you say, Ein Bayin Mishal Tzibor, you're going to mess things up, because it's going to turn out that the carbon is not going to come from the tzibor. We're going to see in the Gemara what that means. So the Gemara says, "My lav the bahaka mifugi." Aren't they arguing about the following? The Tanakama savar, the Tanakama holds habata behefker kani, that looking at produce and watching it is koneh, and therefore v'iyoy v'ilei agre in v'ilo lo. And therefore, if I give him wages, so then he's working for me, he's yada ki yad balabayas. And it's just like when I hire someone to work with me the whole day, so then when he watches it, and by watching it, he's kona it. But since I'm paying it, he's kona it for the gizbor. But if I don't pay him, if the gizbor doesn't pay him, then when he's watching it, he cannot be kona it for hekdish, and he's kona it for himself. And if he's kona it for himself, right, then maybe the way we understand this is that maybe he, when he gives it to the Gizbar, he's saying, you know what? Normally, no one has the opportunity to pay for the Shtei Alechem and the Omer. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to give it because it's, I was kone it by looking at it. And now that's what they're going to use for the carbon. The problem with that is that it's not, no longer a carbon tzibur. So that's what we're saying. That's why the Tanakhama holds you have to pay him. Because if you're paying him, he's kone it for the gizbar. If you're not paying him, he's kone it for himself. And then even if he conveys it to the gizbar, maybe he's still holding on to it in some fashion because he wants to be the one who brought the carbon. Reb Yossi, Sava Reb Yossi, holds up, Bata Behefker Lokani. He holds that looking at something does not acquire. V'chi azli tzibur emaisi hashahu dekazachi bay. And you don't have to pay him. Why? Because all he was doing is watching it. Watching it is not kone it. So therefore, when they come to actually pick it, at that time, who picks it? The shluchim of the gizbar. So then the gizbar is kona. So then the Gemara says, okay, if that's the machlokas, so ma ata omar, and what's the business where the chacham said to him, oh, but if you do that, you're going to cause the carbon not to be shal tzibor. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, because the Gemara is saying, presumably, you're asking on Rabbi Yossi based on his opinion. So what does that mean? According to his opinion, it will still be a carbon tzibor because you're only kone it at the time they pick it. So we say, hachikamrilei, this is what they're saying, that you're going to mess things up. Mitvarecha, from your words that you can hire the guy and not pay him, lidvarenu, to our opinion that he has the ability to be kone by looking at it, ain omar v'shtei alechem boi mishal tzibor. We're going to be messed up according to your case and our opinion of halacha. What's going to end up happening is that the seorim or the chita is going to be his because he'll have acquired it by looking at it, and then he will not have fully conveyed it over to the gizbar, and it'll end up that the omer and the shtei alechem will come from his own possession. I thought we got to the Mishnah, but in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll do it tomorrow.